So we've been talking about the question of what is considered to be a Valkyrie, Diraisa, Dirabonon, and so on. But we also had, at the last piece, we had the din of how long we consider sperm to actually be able to be mitame in Shechvazera. Remember, Shechvazera is semen, and we have our worry is about the actual fertility of the sperm. So what about the whole din of Tuma, of course, does not apply to Goyim. Goyim are not mitameim. And the halacha that Keri is mitame is also only said about Jewish sperm. Now the question is it, what's so funny about that, Ori? So what would be the din of a nochrit shepalta shechvat zera mi Israel? What is the din of semen that actually comes out from a non-Jewess who had had intimate relations with a Jew? Does that change the status of the shechvat zera? No. The shechvat zera is still tmeah. It doesn't matter to us where it came from. As long as it is Jewish sperm, that's what's important. On the other hand, if a Bat Yisrael had relations with a Goy, there is no Tuma on that Shechvat Zera because it isn't something that's Tame. The Torah never assert the Shechvat Zera of a Nochri, and therefore, if she was Polta Shechvat Zera mi Nochri, that Shechvat Zera is Tehora. Doesn't mean she is Torah. The Shechvat Lashon Nekeva is Tehora. Why? Because it came from a Goy, which is not Metame. Now, that it does not have anything to do with the fact that someone who is had any type of intimate relations that ended up giving her that Shechvat Zera, that is itself Metame. So she has to go to the mikvah. Now, the fact that the Zera of a Jew touched her womb, that's not going to be metame her, because that's called beta sitarim. And nothing is metame in beta sitarim. Only if it touches the surface of her body would it be metame, like it'd be metame anybody, woman, man, that's not the point. So now, let's imagine a case. An isha shishim shaveta, so she had normal relations. She goes down into the mikveh, but she actually had not cleaned herself. We use a euphemism, lo kivda et habayit. She didn't sweep out the house before. So in other words, she did not take the precautions of cleaning out the vaginal area to make sure that there would be no shechvat zera there. And what she did was she went to the mikveh. That's useless. Ki'ilu lo tavla. Because we always are going to assume that unless she did something to stop the continued leakage of the Shechvat Zera, then that is always going to be metame her. So she has to wash beforehand to make sure that she's not going to be mitame again. Now, the same thing is true when it comes to a man. Because if a Balkari had gone to the mikveh, but he had not urinated before going to the mikveh, so then we assume that there's always going to be some sperm that remains in the urethra. And therefore, kishiyatil etamayim, when he does urinate, he's going to be metame himself again. And therefore, he will now be a balkari. Reb Yossi Omer, remember this was the chiyav of having in the, as far as the construction of the beneath the Beis HaMikdash, where we had the Beit HaKisei Shel Kavod, that Beit HaKisei Shel Kavod was next to the mikveh that the Balikari and the Kohanim, who had been in the area that wasn't Mekudesh, they would go down, and they needed that bathroom in order to be able to be tovel in that mikveh. Rabbi Yossi Omer, I disagree. I would agree that this is true of someone who has weak ejaculation. So if someone is sick or someone is old, yes. If he's a chole or he's a zaken, I agree that there's not such a good ejaculation, which means that there's going to be some sperm left. But if you're talking about a yelet, we're going to see, does not mean literally it's a kid. It means anybody who's able to stand on one foot and get his shoes on and off. And I think we're going to discuss. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan was 120 years old, and he was doing fine. So he was still a yelet, as the Gemara points out. So all this has to do with virility and not with actual age. So be yelet ubibari, but if the person is healthy, so then you don't have to suspect that he is actually a Baal Keri because he urinates now. There's no reason to assume that there was any sperm that was left. Mikvaot Perekhet Mishnah He. Now, we know that the din is that if something is Bebetas Darim, which we just took for granted, it's not going to be Metami. And the reason that intercourse is Metami has nothing to do with contact with Shechvazera. So let's imagine a case where we need to define what is in the mikveh and what is out of the mikveh. If a person goes to the mikveh, does he have to keep his mouth wide open and let water get into his mouth? No. Why? Because there's no such thing as requiring the water to access parts of the body that are generally not exposed. And therefore, you don't have to expose your mouth inside. You don't have to spread your legs to make sure that there's no folds in your skin. If you're a nice big fat guy, you don't have to pull up your tummy to make sure that your stomach isn't hanging down and not letting water. Folds of skin and things like that are considered to be beta starim for this purpose. In the sense, I will see, not necessarily in terms of being makabel tuma beta starim, but that we'll talk about. So let's imagine a case like this. A nida was holding some coins in her mouth. So she put ma'ot befiha and she closes her mouth, goes into the mikvah, but meanwhile these coin, or the coin that she has in her mouth, is covered with saliva. Now, the mikvah water never got into her mouth. And normally, a person who goes to the mikvah and has saliva in his mouth does not need to be tevel again because the saliva was matami. That all one body, anything in that body becomes tar, when that body is in the mikvah. Problem over here is that once there's saliva on the coins itself, so remember that one of the things that Anita is betame with is with her saliva. So roka is considered also to be tame. And that saliva, which was on the coins, that was never exposed to the mikvah because it's her body that was exposed to the mikvah. But not things that were inside of her body that are not exposed to the mikvah. So because of that, she, after going to the mikvah, she will, of course, be allowed to sleep with her husband, and the going to the mikvah took off the tumas nida. But that saliva is still going to be metame her. Now the question is, how will it metame her? If you take a look at the Tosfos Yontev, the Tosfos Yontev entertains the notion that it will only be metame her bimasa, because the roke of Anita is metame bimasa. But since her mouth is considered to be a beta starim, and that was the whole reason that we didn't require the water to go into her mouth in order to be metire her, so then it would not be metame her bimaga, because maga beta starim is not metame. But in the end, as he points out himself, the Tosfos Yontev, there is a different halacha about kimatim than to betas darim. Those are two different things. So therefore, in a case, there would be a different, the classic betas darim. Somebody swallowed a ring that was tummy, goes to the mikveh. He is not going to be metame himself by the fact that the tummy ring is still in his body. That's not going to be metame. But suppose he has a piece of nevela under his arm, you know, and he's keeping his arm down against his body. The din over there is that that's called nevela bekomet. And a nevela bekomet is not called touching beta starim, because that area is easy to touch. So even though it's not the normal way that you have to be holding yourself in the mikveh to make sure that the mikveh will touch that area, the water touch that area, it's still going to be mekabel tuma in terms of the din of beta star. So that would mean that she would be able to be metame herself. Obviously, that's not a tuma that asers her on her husband. but she, because she's no longer Anita. But this is the roke of Anita, and the roke of Anita will be metaming her even when it's in her mouth. Now, imagine another situation. She went ahead, and before she goes to the mikveh, she put her hair in her mouth. She took a strand of hair and she puts it in her mouth, you know. Some people have a nervous habit of doing that. So she went ahead, she put some of her hair in her mouth, and she closes her mouth tight. So that meant that the water was not able to get to her mouth. So the fact that the mouth was closed, that, of course, we just said.
The mouth, not to her hair. This is the significance, because the hair...
You don't let me finish. So the fact that she closed her mouth, as I was just about to explain, is not a problem because it's Beit HaStarim, and water doesn't need to come into Beit HaStarim. But in this case, the problem is her hair. Because if she closes her mouth in that way, and the water can't get into her mouth, so then her hair was never in the mikveh, and the hair does need to be in the mikveh. So therefore, she is possibly her own tefillah. But there's another issue, and that is, if areas that are normally accessible are made inaccessible, let's say she was kafsa yada, she squeezes her hand together, she clenches her hand.
Okay.
What in the world? Somebody's on again here. Mr. iPhone 3, I don't know who you are. Oh, okay, fine. I'll mute. Fine. Okay. So if she squeezes her hand together, so she's got a clenched fist, and water can't get into it. Or she was kartsa siftoteha. She squeezes her lips together so tightly that the water can't even get to the part of the lip that's normally exposed. So what is that called? Pressed lips? Sure, I can't remember the word again. Where's Richie? He's the youngster, remember? What? No. Yeah, I guess. I thought there was...
Pursed.
Thank you. Yes. Wonderful. Good to be young again. Pursed lips, of course. Yes, indeed. So now she would not allow the water to touch even parts of the lip that, if she's holding them closed normally without pursing them, then they would have been in the water. In these cases, she didn't go into the mikveh, kilu lo tavla, because there was no chance of her entire body to be in the mikveh. In this case, she remains Anita. That's the point. It's kilu lo tavla. It doesn't mean she's going to become tmeya again from something. She never went to the mikveh, and she remains Anita, because going to a mikveh means your entire body surface, including your hair, is in the mikveh. Now, how about a case where somebody is holding on, ha'ochez ba'adam, uvekelim, umadbilan. So you're holding on to the kli that you want to be tummy. Or you're holding on to the baby, and you don't want to wash the baby away with the bathwater. And now you're holding pretty tight. In that case, they remain tummy, because the water can't get in between your grip and the baby, or your grip and the fork. But if first you washed off your hand in water, so now this is what we saw before, remember, about the mita, that you press the mita down, and since the water, there's a film of water that's there, that film of water is considered to be mechurbet to the mikveh. The same thing is true if you had rinsed your hands before. Then that's fine, because then the film of water that remains on your fingers when you're holding the baby or you're holding the fork is considered to be mechuber to the mikveh, the same way that the mud that was the sunk in the bed had sunken into are not going to be a preventation of coming into the mikveh. It's like one continued mikveh, as we saw, even if it's just a thin coating of water, it wouldn't matter. So if your hands are wet and you're holding something in the mikveh, you do not have to let go. It would be a kosher tefillah because you used wet hands, according to the Tana. But you do have to make sure that they were washed, that they're wet.
Is that considered like hashaka?
Hashaka? No, it's just part of the mikveh. It's like the cases we had before, which were Yeah, it is the mikveh. It doesn't have to be Asher. You're in the mikveh. You're still in the mikveh completely. Rabbi Shimon says, you don't have to get your hands wet. Just don't hold tight. If you hold something, you don't have to hold it that tight that water doesn't get into it, do you? Now, you're claiming that there's some type of takana that you must wash your hands or put your hands first to make them wet into the mikveh. There's no such thing. As long as you're careful not to hold on too tight, there's always going to be a film of water from the mikveh between your hands and whatever it is you're holding. Now, Beit HaStarim, which is basically what we've assumed now, anything that is actually really inside the body, right? So inside the mouth, inside the ears, inside your nose, those are not areas that have to get water in them. And Beit HaKmatim, areas that are generally folded over, so you're too fat, they've got folds of skin, or your underarm, you're holding your arm down. Any area that's usually covered in some way by skin, but folds of skin that don't allow easy water, it means that that is not important that the water should get there. And therefore, Eina Tzrichin, Sheyavo Behemayim, it is not necessary for them to get into the water. But it's very important to know, it is necessary for it to be possible for them to be toveled. So suppose, let's say, suppose you've got a bandage underneath one of these folds. Or suppose there's a broken toothpick between your teeth. Your mouth is closed, so the water's not going to get into your mouth anyway. The tefillah is no good because it cannot be exposed to mayim because there's a chatzitza. So a chatzitza in the Beit HaStarim is definitely ma'akev. That's called a chatzitza. But the water not being there is not ma'akev. Fascinating. So we've been getting closer and closer to an understanding of the difference of being in the mikveh, which would make the difference between being a nida or not being a nida, or not having a exposure to water, and you're still considered to being in the mikveh. But that would require that it would be possible to be exposed to water, and you could still have a chatzitza in an area that is not meant to be in the water. What do you think of that? So this is how we end our wonderful perek, Bezrat Hashem, to begin next week.